Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Rebel Room podcast. This is your midweek edition. Ryan Green, Rob Misch, Ray Brewer here to talk UNLV. We've got football. We'll get to that later, but obviously what we're going to start with, hoops. It got underway. The season opener, the regular season opener, is Saturday against Pittsburgh State, but fans got their taste, their first taste of live game action with an exhibition Tuesday night. UNLV escapes against Washburn by 10. It was a struggle the whole way. I guess the Rob Misch, the main three sticking points from this one, just that you took away.
Geez, I think the main thing was that, excuse my voice, battling a little cold here, but I think the main thing was it's an exhibition game. Mm. Kruger was playing a lot of guys, a lot of minutes, trying to see combinations, trying to see who would break through and maybe do some things. He did not start Chase Standback. He's had a bad ankle for about 3-4 weeks. Chase will start Saturday night, but, he was even bringing him along slowly, so you didn't see the real starting lineup. So I'll tell you what, though, at the end we saw Derek Jasper and Chase Standback kind of take over, and they weren't about to lose that game. And we saw Chase score 15 points in the last 15 minutes, and I think he proved that he's going to be a rudder of the team.
And I think you can, like you said, it's an exhibition game. This is something used to kind of feel things out, feel the way things are going to go. From your guys' perspective over there, did it seem like? There wasn't any question about effort in this one. It seemed like it was just kind of a feel out type deal.
I think anybody who's played sports, especially basketball, you know that you got to have a feel for the guys you're playing with. You got to know who's going to do what. Who's going to be where, when, who can make that cut, who can make this shot or that pass. And so you're looking at a lot of new faces. They haven't played together, their first competitive situation, and, you know, it takes time. So anybody, you know, people who, if they win by 20, people are going to wish they would have won by 30. If they win by 15, they're going to wish they won by 25. So, I mean, you're never going to please everybody, but, it's going to take time for them to gel and, It's trite to tell fans to be patient, but they're gonna need some time to get used to each other, and this schedule is sort of tailor made for that. So people just need to relax a bit.
And Rob, that's the one thing I noticed was they had a great effort on the court, and I also thought they played great defense. They really looked like they were aggressive defensively, and especially on the perimeter, they controlled the pace of the game. And if there's anything to build off of, especially early, I think it's the defense. Offensively, it'll come around because they do have talent and they do have players who have a lot of potential. Will that potential be reached? We all think it will be, I think, pretty obviously. But right now, defense, I thought, looked good at least. And it carried the way, so I thought that was the one building block.
And obviously, that's something that Kruger has hung his hat on with his teams over the years. Is a team that can get by, a defense that's going to keep you in a game, and
going to hound on the perimeter and turn turnovers into easy buckets. And we saw those at the exhibition. Chase Standback sort of got their motor going by a strip about he intercepted a pass 25 out from the basket and easily sailed in for a dunk. That's one thing we haven't seen in the Rebels in a while. Players who are actually going to dunk the ball, take it in. It's kind of a high percentage shot. So I think there was a lot to take out of it, a lot of positive. Derek Jasper and Standback are both going to hit the boards. We saw that. Anthony Marshall is going to stick his nose down there. Rebounding from the guards is going to be very important because, let's face it, the big guys down low, they're going to take it's going to take time for them to get used to banging down there. Darius Santee is trying to play with his noggin more, looking at the rim. Bryce Masamba will try to play more with his back to the basket, and when they're on the court, they're gonna have to get used to each other, and rebounding is going to be an issue. What did you think about the physical play down low, Ray?
Well, right away, I know Washburn didn't have the size that are some of the opponents on the UNLV schedule, but it was a good start. Guys fighting for positions, fighting to get playing time off the bench for UNLV. And I thought Shaw probably looked a little gassed. He had the knee surgery, hadn't played against a live opponent in quite some time. So to me, he looked a little gassed. But other than that, I think the foundation was definitely there. A lot of players showed glimpses of the potential. I know I mentioned that early. And I think we'll find out more on Saturday against an opponent comparable to Washburn, another Division II team. And
From Kansas.
From Kansas, nonetheless. And Lon Kruger, obviously, from Kansas. And it should give us a better gauge and just building blocks toward the future and, I guess, leading up to the Reno game and the Louisville game where the competition will be stepped up.
Yeah, we don't know that much about Pitt State. They were 10-17 a year ago. They lost their top scorer, their top rebounder. Spencer Magana is the highest returning scorer at 12.4 points, but he only shoots less than 40%. So, you know, I'm not sure we're going to see such a difficult foe on Saturday. So
they're fresh off a 58-point whipping. So
yes,
to the hands of the number one team in the country. So you wonder what kind of physical toll that maybe took on them too, especially a team that, like you said, is not very deep. Not, you know. Yeah, you don't know about the talent level there. You know, you give them a good physical hit, the next guys are going to have a chance to get fat and happy off of them.
Yeah, I don't think this will be a very good barometer, you know, for exactly what this UNLV team is about. I think we're going to see a lot of players getting a lot of minutes. Look for Chopper Jones to get his 15 minutes of fame, and who knows? I don't think it'll be a good chance for them to fatten up.
Yeah. And I know Joe Q Fan will say, okay, Pittsburgh State lost by 58 to Kansas, and UNLV only beat them by 25. Oh, there's no way we're going to contend. We won't make the tournament. I mean,
I hate that comparative stuff, but
people,
you're right.
Are
people
so negative. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's just hope they don't do it after this one because, I mean, apples and oranges, but still, you know, UNLV, this is a big opportunity for them to make a statement early on. Did you sense, because, you know, asking you guys who were there the other night about the atmosphere, were fans a little uneasy by how close this one? Because obviously not everybody looks at it the same way. You know, they see a Division II exhibition opponent, they're thinking they're going to go and watch a 40-point blowout. They obviously don't see it. Did you notice any unrest with fans, or were for the most part pretty?
I'll tell you this from the last few days, what I have gathered from people in and outside of the program, people in the grocery store, people just kind of wince their nose and, oh, that was ugly. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people think that was pretty. I mean, 4:44 left and Washburn had a 1-point lead. So there weren't a lot of people who were too enthused about that game. But you know what? There's not too much to take from it. You know, I think one thing we're going to not see this season, which I have written about, is Carlos Lopez redshirting, which is a great move for him. He needs another year. He needs to get stronger, put some weight on. He caught that stomach virus, which we have talked about in France in July, and that just he ate away at him.
Yeah,
he was already kind of behind the eight ball, and there's been some aspects of practice almost on a daily basis that have been challenging for him. So this year is going to be invaluable for him.
And we had talked earlier about the fans, and, you know, Tuesday was an exhibition game for the players, exhibition game for the fans, too. They honored the championship team at halftime. Still probably about 10,000 folks at the arena. Student section virtually empty. I think that home court advantage, especially when you bring in an opponent like UNR, is going to be huge. So expect for the fans to get more involved in the game. I think that's one of the best things about the Thompson Mac, is how the kids are right there by the basket. And with each year that Coach Kruger's been here, the student section's grown and grown, and it's real cool. I think, yeah, and I love how the players after the game go over and clap to the fans. I think that kind of pageantry for the program is awesome. And that was one thing that was missing. Not that, you know, they needed a boost from the fans to beat a Division II team, but nonetheless, I think it'll be neat when Saturday comes around. We're going to roll out the red carpet opening game, and everybody will be there, or at least hopefully some more folks. So it should be a good time.
Well, you know what? I'm sorry, Ryan. You brought up a great point, Ray, about the stand, the attendance. They had an average crowd last season of more than 13,000. First time in 10 years they averaged that many. And, you know, a lot of that success has to be attributed to Lon Kruger and, you know, his own kind of marketing wing he developed with DJ Allen. And, you know, they're trying to return it to what it was in the past, and that's the real good start. You know, almost 19,000 for the BYU game last year. So, you know what? you reel off a few wins, and who knows what how many people are going to come out.
And they'll come watch you play Pittsburgh State.
Yes.
Those teams of the world.
You guys weren't here during the glory years. You know, I grew up here, and my dad was, you know, lucky enough to take me to a few games. And just as a kid, to see all those fans there, it was so cool. They had this this fanometer that was up toward the Raptors, and you would just cheer and cheer to try to get this thing to 100, and the Rebels would score, and folks you don't even know would turn around and ask you for a high five. And UNLV Hoops was Las Vegas's pro franchise, and to watch, you know, the program drop down over the years, and the number of fans that dropped down over the years, and to see what, you know, Coach Kruger and his crew have done to kind of turn the tables a little bit, it's been real neat to see. And I think everybody, you, me, Ryan, the fans, are looking forward to this year with optimism and hoping that they put out a winner, because when UNLV basketball wins, this whole town embraces them just like that.
Well, moving from a program that obviously has the fan base there to one that struggles to get it and has struggled to do so again this year, trying to save some face late in the season. UNLV football team is now 4-6 after defeating Colorado State last weekend. They got two games left. Got to win them both. It's the catchiest fight song in college football.
Best. The best. I like it.
And that would be Air Force.
Hail to the Victors is pretty good, but yes. You got to love.
Exactly.
Wild Blue Yonder.
And it's they are 6-4. UNLV will head up to Colorado Springs for a 3 p.m. kickoff this weekend. And, you know, let's just tell it like it is. Air Force does two things very well that UNLV is going to have trouble with. They run the football, and they stop you from scoring points. They've only allowed over 20 points once this season, and that was in an overtime loss. And they have the number 4 rushing attack in all of college football.
Would that be an oxymoron, Air Force?
I know, exactly. They don't air it out much, but, you know, oddly enough, that's what they succeeded with last year in a 29-28 win at Sam Boyd Stadium that came from behind in the fourth. UNLV held them to about 4 yards per carry, but Tim Jefferson, then a freshman quarterback, was 6 of 7 for 142 yards and 2 TDs. They caught him with trick pass plays, and, boy, the Rebels have a lot to look out for this weekend because they got a lot of bases to cover. They're going to be, like, stretching to plug holes in the Hoover Dam with gum.
Well, you know, I tell you what, Air Force has the number 4 rushing offense in the country. Vegas has the number 111 rushing defense. Mm-hmm. So you figure that's boy, something's going to give there in a big way. But I'll tell you what, if the Rebels can do some tricks, if they can get lucky, maybe get some big gainers, catch them early, take a lead, maybe even widen a lead.
Mm-hmm.
That's not exactly an offense that's going to come back or come back quickly. Yeah. You know, that they could catch them off guard. And I know for a fact, I can't tell you how I know this, but the D coordinator for Air Force is more concerned about this UNLV offense than he is about BYU's offense next week. So, you know, they don't want to get caught napping. So, and they, you know, they really think there's a lot of talent on that UNLV offense.
Initially, when I saw the betting line for this game, I think it was at 18. I thought that was way too high just because UNLV always plays Air Force well.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Traditionally they do, yeah.
Traditionally they play them well, and I mean, I don't want to talk as a gambler or somebody who analyzes the lines, but when I saw the game on the schedule, I thought right away, well, I think UNLV has a chance because they played them tight last year. They've won at Air Force when John Robinson was the coach, and they always play tough against the Falcons. And Air Force's offense grinded out on the ground. We know UNLV has a hard time stopping the run. We know it's been ugly trying to stop the run. But if somehow they muster to do it, and arguably they do have better athletes, then I think they have a chance to be in the game. I don't think a UNLV win is far-fetched. But if it happened, I wouldn't sit here and say it was an upset of the century or a major surprise, because I really do. I could see how the game could go in UNLV's favor. I really do.
And here's another thing you got to think about. Air Force, you know, they've had a very up-and-down season. It has not been an easy for them. They've dealt with a lot of injuries, very close losses across the board. I mean, they haven't won a lot of games comfortably except for last weekend. And oddly enough, last weekend they clinched bowl eligibility for the third season in a row under Troy Calhoun. So do you think that factors into it? This team's been through the ringer this year. They've got their bowl eligibility. You know, how hungry are they really to come out and shut down UNLV? How much does win number 7 really mean to them?
Right. I mean, I think those are valid points. But I think the biggest point would be the fact that UNLV is coming off a win. I think that's priceless. Mm-hmm. You know, They did things at work last week, and they've got something to build on. And I know they need the next two games, you know, for bowl eligibility. But I just get a funny sense that they've got nothing to lose, and that could be dangerous for Air Force.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And at the beginning of the year, you guys sat here. You had the Rebel schedule, 12 games. You know, some folks had them going 8-4, which obviously was probably a stretch. But when you looked at the schedule, Air Force was a game that you probably a coin flip.
Yeah.
Are they going to win? Or are they going to lose? Now, they lost those games, you know, to UNR where they couldn't stop the run. And then the next
Wyoming
and BYU. And they looked real awful. But, you know, they're playing better now. I mean, they are playing better. Granted, there's a lot of weaknesses, a lot of holes. But it's not – this Air Force team is – there's so many things going in the Rebels' favor. I really think that they're gonna go at least and put a good effort forth. We talked about the effort with the basketball team. If the Rebels could put an effort forth on the football field Saturday, I think they got a chance. I really do.
Well, they just better not get bullied. You know, they better tackle, and they better just kind of, you know, meet the bully in the alley and give them what – they're going to be taken.
The thing is, I don't think they're scared of these guys, because a lot of these guys remember that game last year where they really only allowed one big run play, and that was the first quarter touchdown. And other than that, you know, they led going into the fourth quarter. They hung with them, they played their game, and you know, they succeeded at it. So I think that there's no intimidation here. Obviously, you've got the factor of them going on the road, which has been a problem in Mountain West history under Mike Sanford. But hey Rob, if they pull it off, might be looking at 5-6 against 5-6. Winner goes bowling when your Aztecs come to town.
All I can say is the D linemen for UNLV better watch their ankles.
Yeah, ankles, knees, all of it.
The Falcon offensive linemen are notorious for over the decades for chopping those ankles. So better put double pads on those ankles, boys.
And Malo Tamua said it best this week. He said the only thing you need to do is do it right back. Just if they're going to go low, you be ready for it. Get right low with them.
That's the thing. You got to just they're going to try to punk you, punk them back.
Yep, exactly.
And for as bad as the year's been for the football team, look, they still have a chance for their goal, a bowl game. And it's fun for these guys. They're still in it at practice. They're still, you know, practicing hard.
Still got something to care about.
Yeah. This is a fun week for them. They're playing a meaningful game in the middle of November.
Right.
Yeah. Which hasn't happened many years.
We saw it happen last year, and they had a little pep in their step late in the season with meaningful games.
Well, Ryan, why don't you address this? We don't need to kid ourselves. They're playing for Mike Sanford's career here.
Mm-hmm.
I get a sense that will give him a boost. Do you?
I think so.
Do you
Yeah, I think you can tell. I've been around teams in the past where you can tell there's a coach there who the players don't want to fight for him. UNLV's players have a genuine respect for him, and they like him, and you can tell. So I think that adds something to it. And it's funny because, you know, two more wins, and a lot of people will kind of let those ugly losses to UNR and BYU, you know, be on the back burner. But, you know, one more loss, and that's going to be the big chip in their stack in trying to get Mike Sanford ousted. So
right, the moment that they are bowl ineligible is
when those games are talked about again.
Not only those games, that's when they're going to start, you know, taking a real close look at the program. But boy, I'm not an apologist for the program by any means. But I'll tell you what, God, that slim Oregon State loss, wow.
And you look at those two crucial weeks where they had the Oregon State loss and they had the Wyoming loss, and it's very reminiscent of last year when they go 5-7, and you look at the Air Force game and the Colorado State game, both of which they led in the fourth quarter. And they got a chance to make up for both years with two games left.
Yeah, you got to close those games out, and that's, I guess, part of the process of building a program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those first years, you lose the close games, but everything comes together. You start developing under the coach. You get familiar with the system. You got to win these games. Now it's a chance for Mike Sanford to win those games.
And it's year five, so he's really run out of time.
It's go time, baby. Let's go.
Well, guys, any final comments before we bounce out of here for the rest of the week?
No.
Go Rebels.
All right. For Ray Brewer, Rob Misch, this is Ryan Green. We'll talk to you this weekend here in the Rebel Room.